Hey. If you're hearing that music, you know that this is another edition of a Spiritual Perspective. Spiritual Perspectives talking about real life from a spiritual perspective. This is Scout Bartlett, and I'll be your host. And like with every event of Spiritual Perspectives, we want to invite you to participate. You're welcome to call in to add your comment or ask your question. The phone number is area code 415-543-8255. That's 415-543-8255 to join in on Spiritual Perspectives. This morning, let me just read this to you. Is it really reasonable to rely on the power of God instead of material remedies for our health? How Relying on God Brings Healing is the title of a lecture to be given by Brian Talcott, a practitioner and teacher of Christian Science Healing. Brian will present this one-hour talk 2 weeks from today, Friday, November 12th at 7:30. It'll be in the Mill Valley Community Center at 180 Camino Alto, Mill Valley. Come and learn how you can bring the power of divine love into your life. Now, Brian became involved in the practice of Christian Science while he was attending UC Berkeley, as a matter of fact. Even though he was grabbing a bachelor's degree of architecture at UC Berkeley, he learned that for himself, he could turn to God with his every need, and his love for Christian Science led him on a new career path to help others understand and trust God with life's challenges. He went on to be a Protestant chaplain in the Air Force, which had to be an interesting demonstration, but for a number of years, Brian served as the Christian Science Committee on Publication for Northern California. He represented the Christian Science Church with media, the state legislature, and other public agencies, and he worked to help clergy and other professionals understand and utilize spiritual resources in many areas, including treating child abuse and domestic violence. So Brian's got a pretty solid background out there in the world. This is not just someone that stayed in some ivory tower and mumbled about God, but he's been out there to see how it really works. And so I'm very, very excited to bring him as our guest this morning. Everybody, this is Brian. Brian, this is everybody.
Good morning. Good to hear you.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome.
I'm glad to be here, and good morning to all your listeners.
So I'm very curious, Brian. We'll wander off here for a moment. Interacting with the media and the state legislature, so legislature at a state level, about spiritual and religious beliefs or spiritual and religious views, or for that matter, spiritual and religious freedom, how was that interaction, trying to interact with our duly elected politicians that we have a certain image of, but interacting with them on a level about spirit and spirituality?
Well, you know, it was very interesting, and we were actually quite successful. We represent simply the practice of Christian Science and how it intersects with any other institutions and laws and activities that people are involved in. And so legislation from all corners that impacted on the practice of Christian Science, from tax law to, of course, health care legislation and education legislation. And what we always did was simply talk with the legislature and see how we could adjust the law to accommodate individuals in their practice of spiritual healing. And they were usually very happy to do so.
Well, I know, and we'll just go into a touchy area for just a moment, because I know I was horrified to see in the press recently some couple actually being, well, I would use the word persecuted, but I think the official word was prosecuted, some couple being prosecuted for not having used traditional Western medicine in the treatment of their child, and some judge actually deciding that that was a crime.
Well, we have to be very careful when we're dealing with the public thought. The traditional view or the general view is that people should seek medical care for their children, and Christian Science has an alternative way of dealing with health care issues, but we want to be very responsible, and so we encourage other parents as well to be aware of the public thought and concerns about making sure the child is well cared for. There are tough issues to be faced, and every parent has to make those decisions in terms of how to care for their child. If a child would pass on, then it's a tragedy, and there are probably better ways than prosecuting the parents to deal with that. But one way is to inform the public that we all need to be responsible in the care of our children.
Well, very, very definitely. And yet there's also the equal part of we need to be responsible in allowing ourselves to have a nation where there is religious freedom.
Right, right.
So that had to have been part of your interaction with the legislature, is to continue to stand up for religious freedom rather than allowing it to get sort of hemmed into a corner of, let's call it, the broader held traditional thinking.
Right, and that's true. Well, we actually worked with a large coalition of various religious representatives to deal with, way back when I was there, with the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, to make sure that religious freedom is understood and appreciated. The right to practice an individual's religion without imposing on others is an important right.
I certainly see it that way, given that I don't necessarily follow exactly along with any of the prepackaged the prepackaged studies that are out there or that are more broadly believed. So we want to move on to the talk that you're going to be doing here 2 weeks from today, Brian. And I'll just borrow this quote. Millions of people believe in the power of prayer to heal illness. And in fact, it's been researched and attempted to be debunked. And every time they do that, it sort of backfires. The research actually proves it rather than debunking it. But millions of people believe in the power of prayer to heal illness. Is it really reasonable to rely on the power of God instead of material remedies? This is a piece that you're going to be addressing in your talk, Can We Rely on God for Health? So I'll just toss it right out. Is it really reasonable to rely on the power of God instead of material remedies? And what sort of evidence have you seen to support that?
Well, I have a lifetime of evidence for myself and relying on spiritual means for healing, relying on God. And it's really learning to know God well enough to be able to trust Him. It's not, you know, people turn to God in prayer pretty constantly, but without a whole lot of understanding of how God intimately is involved with their lives.
Uh-huh.
And that's where we need to grow. We have within us each a spiritual sense of things that helps us to know and turn to God, and we naturally do that when we're in big trouble. But if we could learn more about the nature of God and how to interact with Him on a daily basis, then we would learn how God responds to our needs, and then we would act appropriately as well. Prayer is a wonderful thing that helps us get in touch with God. it's interesting that we don't think about it that way, but God gave us a very human, material, physical practice, which is called prayer, that enables us to get in touch with God and keep in touch with God.
You know, that brings us to a question, Brian, that I ask in every Spiritual Perspectives program. What is your working definition of that word prayer?
Well, it's simply communing with God. I don't know if you heard this one. I heard a while ago a journalist who had asked Mother Teresa at one point about her prayer life and asked her, well, what do you say when you pray to God? And she said, well, I don't really say anything. I just listen. And she said, well, then he said to her, well, then what does God say to you when you pray? And she said, well, He doesn't really say anything. He just listens. And there's a wonderful sense of that wordless communing with God, that just getting close to God. Mary Baker Eddy, who's the founder of Christian Science, was very helpful in pulling out of the Bible seven different synonyms for God that are very helpful in enabling us to understand the nature of God that we can relate to in our modern day.
Oh, great.
Without getting into anthropomorphic ideas. And they're pretty common and well-known, of course, that God is love. Love itself. Not just loving, but love itself. And all good. So if we think of God as love, we can get in touch with love, and we can be assured that love will care for us and understand us and respond to us. We also learn that God is mind from the Bible, and that one infinite mind, that source of all intelligence. And so as we begin to realize that our intelligence and ideas come from God constantly, It says in the Psalm 139, how great are your thoughts to me, O Lord. If I would count them, they're more in number than the sand. Think of the millions of grains of sand on a seashore. Well, God's thoughts to us are constant that way. And so we may not hear them as voices, but we get ideas from God if we listen to them. And so basically prayer is communing with God. Well, there's many the other synonyms, too, of life, truth, spirit, and soul. Help us to understand God without having to put him in some kind of a physical form.
Exactly. It's sometimes so difficult to break out of the classic pictures, which were sort of a Neptunian god, the big dude with the long white beard sitting in a huge chair.
Sure, yeah. So, and unfortunately, one of the things that does, it gives us a very limited view of God, but also tends to make us feel quite separated from God. Who is this guy and where is he? Far away. And when we begin to see that God is ever-present love, and ever-present truth, and ever-present life, as Paul says, in whom we live and move and have our being, then we begin to see how intimate our relationship to God is. We are in the God that governs us. It's not inside of us. Many people like to think of God inside of us, and that's okay, but really that would limit God as well to our own conditions and our own feelings and actions. Really, the greater idea is that we are in the God that governs us. We are surrounded by that life and truth and love that governs us.
Let me see if I can hit replay on that, because that was a fabulous concept, that ever-present love. And then you had a quote from Paul, in whom
we live and move and have our being. That's from Acts 17.
In whom we live and move and have our being. I'm going to toss that one right back in your lap, Brian. Expand on that. What does that really say to you, that ever-present love in whom we live and move and have our being?
Well, I call it the great reversal. It's so important to begin to see that the love, our capacity to love, our ability to understand things, to know, is not from within us, but we are in it. And we are simply manifesting that. We are the very manifestation of the intelligence and love and life that is God. That's man's purpose in life, is to show forth what God is. Not that we are gods, but we are the very manifestation, the image and likeness of God. And so as we see that we are in this intelligence that is infinite and unlimited, then much more is available to us of the intelligence of God than we would think in terms of our own human capacities to know and understand things. Same with love. You know, sometimes we feel like we're worn out trying to love somebody who's very trying or difficult to deal with. When we begin to see that that love is infinite and inexhaustible, and we are simply the transmitter or the expression of that love, then we will never wear out. We will never have to quit loving.
That's fabulous. Brian, we're going to break away for just a second to give a little bit of a station ID and to give people the information about where you'll be, where they can come hear you in person in 2 weeks. And then we'll be right back, because I've got a bunch of questions you just stirred up.
Okay.
San Francisco.
Hi, this is Scout, and you can have a private session with me, either a single session of self-understanding or ongoing development work for your spiritual path or unfolding the areas of your life that have been folded. We can work together individually, and I'm fully certified in all of the techniques that Christopher Howard uses in his groundbreaking Breakthrough to Success workshop, so that we can work even in those directions. You can contact me by phone as 925-676-5189 or email me scout@lifeinsights.net. That's scout@lifeinsights.net. And This is Spiritual Perspectives, taking a look at real life from a spiritual perspective. And I want to let you know that our guest today is Brian Talcott. Is it really reasonable to rely on the power of God instead of material remedies for our health? How Relying on God Brings Healing is the title of a lecture to be given by Brian Talcott, a practitioner and teacher of Christian Science Healing. Brian will present this one-hour talk 2 weeks from today on November 12th at 7:30 p.m. It'll be held in the Mill Valley Community Center, which is 180 Camino Alto, Mill Valley, California, of course. Come and learn how you can bring the power of divine love into your life. I have a phone number. If you're driving right now, you can make a note of this phone number. Just lick your finger and write it on the window. You can read it when you breathe on it. And that's area code 415-383-2020. 415-383-2020. To get more information about Brian's talk, How Relying on God Brings Healing, and that'll be Friday, November 12th at 7:30 p.m. at the Mill Valley Community Center. And we have the privilege today, we're actually speaking with Brian, so this is fun. We get to get off script a little bit and ask questions. So Brian, let me toss this idea. This is the image in my head as you were speaking, that we're not that it's not that God is a spark of light within us that we then have to try and act, bring out or actualize, but it felt to me as if you were describing as if there's a, one summer I worked a job in injection plastic molding. So there was the mold, there was a certain amount of vacuum, and the plastic was drawn in to fill out the mold. It didn't have to try and figure out what to be. It just had to let itself expand to fit a preformed casting, as it were. And that was sort of the picture that came to my mind as you were describing in whom, not from within, but in whom, that perfect picture of God. Does that make any sense? Take that and clear it up for me.
Well, that's an interesting analogy or metaphor. Yeah, we are in the God that governs us. People might at some point think, well, that would make me pretty limited then, in terms of what I could be if I'm just in God all the time. But we need to realize that we're in infinite life, infinite in variety as well as time and space. It's an eternal idea. We're an eternal idea of God, eternal expression of God, an infinite. And so how many choices do we have in terms of how we're going to live and express God? Well, we have an infinite number of choices, but they are all expressions of God, all good, all expressions of life, truth, and love.
Fabulous. Now, there's a comment in some of the notes I have here, and it just says that you've said that learning to pray through the deep study of the Bible and Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy has brought you lifelong health. I want to take two parts of that and make them both questions. You can roll with both. One, learning to pray, and the other is lifelong health.
Mm-hmm. Well, the learning to pray is really more than people think. We're not just turning to God. It's really learning how to listen, learning how to recognize God. You know, the model for prayer for Christians is the Lord's Prayer, and it is a model for prayer. It's not just a prayer we pray, although it's a wonderful prayer. To look at it as a model. Jesus said, after this manner, pray. And so we begin in that prayer with God and understand and acknowledge the presence and power of God in our life and his kingdom as well. And so we want to, and that's the rule of the government of God in our life. And so prayer is really learning how to acknowledge, listen to, understand, respond to God first. And then it actually puts our own human needs in perspective in a way that helps us to respond and him to, well, us to acknowledge how he is already responding to and helping us with those problems. You know, it's interesting. One place Mrs. Eddy talks about Jesus where he talks about praying in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says that your Father knows how to give good gifts to you and will not give you a stone, but all good. God has all good for us. Now, we need to separate that from a lot of material wants and things that we think we need and begin to see good as a spiritual quality, ideas, substance, and life that then gets translated into a healthy and happy life on the human scene. But if we start turning to God simply with our material wants and needs, we really haven't bothered to get to know God and how he does respond to us. So there's some learning involved.
I can definitely sense that there's an attuning one's self to that sense. So I was reading in some of the other notes about you, Brian, where you were describing having seen these solid beliefs in God, this solid connection with God, create healing results in lots of fairly dire circumstances, including, I'm looking at things such as addiction and other issues, domestic violence, substance abuse. And I know that that you've presented and taught in a number of different formats. What have you actually, are there any anecdotes or stories you could share about actually watching this change, marital challenges or substance abuse, or even a sense of violence in a domestic violence circumstance?
Oh, I have many. I'll share one domestic violence issue. When I was a chaplain in the Air Force, I got a call one evening from a woman who happened to be a Christian Scientist, and she had been just beaten up by her husband, and he had, then they lived in a little trailer near the base, and then he had stormed out. And in the meantime, she called me to help her and to pray for her and know what to do. And the first thing I, of course, said, she needed to find a place of safety to be safe. And she had a girlfriend that she went to stay with, and she was fine. And we were praying over what steps to take next. And I think this was on a Friday night when she called me. And Sunday morning, she called me back again and said she decided she really wanted to go home. She loved her husband and wanted to be with him. And I said, well, okay, we're praying for safety first here. But if you want to reconcile to him, then, you know, he needs to get some help. And she said, oh, I know that, but every time I brought the subject up, it just becomes another argument and another beating, and so that doesn't work out so well. And I said, you know, you got to figure out a way to share, and I'll be praying for you, and just see what happens. Just find, let God give you the wisdom how to broach this subject if you go back. So she went back to him and that Sunday afternoon, and about an hour later she called me and she said, well, I asked him if he would get help, and he said he would. And I was so amazed. So he wants to come see you tomorrow. And so I said, okay.
Now it's on your shoulders.
I'll see him then. So he came in to see me, and I'll tell you, it was almost stereotypical. Here was this big, brawny guy who was red-haired, freckled-faced Irish guy, and just all the stereotypes of a kind of a very physically oriented, hot-tempered Irishman. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, well, that's a terrible stereotype. But that was what he was like, and he had a lot of brothers that were all the same way, and, you know, they were raised to fight, and it was tough at first. But I just talked to him about his nature as the child of love and what that meant and how powerful love was in his life to help him deal with the challenges he had in a different way. He was a maintenance fellow that worked on the flight line, and he had a very electronics, a very high-pressure job. He had to fix electronic gear on aircraft and was under lots of pressure to do that. And they had financial issues, and, you know, just all this pressure seemed to just build in him all the time, and he'd take it out on his wife. And so I worked with him that day and every day that week, and he came back every day. And he didn't hit her anymore, and he was working on it. And I thought, you know, if we tried to deal with this from a psychological basis, this is going to take months if it succeeds. And so only prayers are going to really help him change. my prayer was just to see him as God saw him, as really the loving, gentle, intelligent idea of God. And I work with those kinds of qualities about him. Well, I work with him, I'm not sure how often, you know, like about once or twice a week for a while, and then about once a week.
Brian,
and
you
after
just,
about a month, yes.
You just said something so powerful. I would love it if you would repeat it. I'm going to back you up in your story. You said,
okay,
my prayer was to see him. And just, it doesn't have to be the same words, but say that again. My prayer was to see him.
My prayer was to see him as God saw him.
Yes.
As the loving, intelligent, gentle idea of divine love.
That is
his true nature.
That is so huge. My prayer was to see him as God saw him, as that gentle, loving nature of God. I wanted to reinforce that. Sorry to interrupt. So now, where did it go from there?
So that's what I worked on with him. And after about a month, we'd been working, and he was just drinking in this new understanding of his own nature as the child of God, as able to be a loving, intelligent idea of God. And he never hit his wife again. I worked I worked about 6 months with him, but after about a month, there was this turning point I thought was a great success for him. He explained to me, he came back and said that he, of course, lived in this trailer park, and it was full of kids. It was all Air Force families, and everybody had kids from, you know, 0 to 10 years old, pretty much. And the only place he had a hobby of working on radios, homemade radios. And he, only place he had to work was out on his own porch step. There was no room in the house for it. It's a little trailer house. So he was working on radios out there, and he said, I typically would be out there, and the kids would come around and teased him, and he would turn all red. He couldn't help it, and he'd get angry and turn red, and he'd chase them away. And this one time, he was out there doing his work with the radio, and some kids came around, and they started to tease him, and he just laughed it off and loved them. And he just consciously said, I'm the expression of love. I'm just going to love. And they got interested, and he started showing them how the radio worked and what he was doing. And he came back. He was so overjoyed that this was a much better way to deal with challenges than to get angry. And he just felt so much more dominion over himself by being able to really put it into practice and love. And that's what he did. And he just became the sweetest, gentle guy after that. And he had learned that love would enable him to deal with any challenge he faced much more effectively than getting angry and getting upset. And he changed.
What a huge transformation. I love that phrase, dominion over himself.
Yep, that's what he got.
So he got to have his feelings rather than be them. I love that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
So in the lecture that you do, Can We Rely on God for Health, Brian, you talk about the mental nature of both the cause and cure of illness. Now, I want to touch in on this because I've seen people before go into a place where they, and I do it, it's embarrassing to admit, but as an individual who does a fair amount of practice in my own spiritual work and healing work, I get embarrassed when I catch a cold or I catch the flu, as if somehow that's an embarrassing mistake that I have made. So let me just ask you about that part. When you're dealing with people, how do you get them past the mental nature of almost wanting to have beaten themselves up or other people thinking less of them, of you must have spiritually screwed up that you're being sick?
Well, you know, that's just a modern version of the old religious view that people who are suffering must have sinned. What Job's friends were trying to get him to confess because of all of his suffering, and he hadn't done anything.
Mm-hmm.
People sometimes ask me that, as you did. So does that mean that people are responsible for their illnesses and should feel guilty about getting sick or having a problem? No, not at all. And I found that that's not true of Christian Science. We don't think that way about it. You know, if we think of our consciousness as our mental home, certainly we need to take care of our mental home. But just like our physical home. If a thief broke into our house and robbed us, are we responsible for that? Well, we're responsible to some degree of taking care, but we can't control everything that happens to our home. And certainly we can't control everything that comes into our own consciousness. We want to be more mindful and thoughtful about it, but we can't control everything. These thoughts come, and basically they come as fears. You try to tell somebody, well, just don't be afraid of that. Well, that's very hard to do. It's not human will that is ever going to really protect our mental consciousness from those kinds of fears. Rather, in Christian Science, we discovered that the only thing that really can give us dominion over our thought and therefore over our health is this communing with God, letting God govern thought, and being so conscious of God on a daily basis that the awareness of God's love governing, caring for us, supporting us, that's what relieves the fears in a practical way that really works.
You know, we've mentioned Christian Science, and we've mentioned Christian Science as a church, and I'd like to take a moment here, Brian, to let you, because I know you did not grow up inside that church. You found it in your early adulthood. But people, let's just give people a slightly different picture, because you're going to be doing this talk. It's actually it's sponsored by the First Church Christ Science Mill Valley. It's there in Mill Valley. It's actually a gift to the community. There's no charge for the event, which I think is just fabulous. But for people that have, let's say, maybe some bruises from other buildings that had the word church on them, they might have a traditional picture of a church that has one individual of whatever gender at the very front that's telling everybody how they need to think and what they need to agree with and what that particular scripture means, and that's the only thing it means, and that's what you must agree with, and you're either on track or you're off track, and you're either with us or you're against us, yada, yada, yada. Can you give me a slight differentiation? First of all, are they going to run into anybody proselytizing to them at your talk? And if they wandered into a Christian Science church, what would they run into that's different than that description?
Well, there are a number of things that are different. One way of thinking about Christian Science is it is simply following Christ Jesus, practicing Christianity as Jesus taught and expected his followers to do so. That's what Christian Science is. It's very simple. But it also, we could say that Christian Science, I actually had a doctor say this to me one time, and I said, so how do you think about Christian Science? He said, well, from my understanding of Christian Science, it's the search for truth. And nobody can define for somebody else what that truth is. We certainly can point in that direction, but God is infinite. The truth is infinite, and we all come to it in our own way. There's a wonderful thing about Christian Science. It really is a system of self-instruction. We ordain the Bible, and Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures are the pastor of our church. Mary Baker Eddy ordained those and gave them to the church to really remove personal preaching from our church and let people explore on their own these truths of the Bible, what Jesus taught and lived, as Christian Science helps elucidate those through the book Science and Health. And that's what it does. It just opens the Bible for people to get it in ways that they had never seen it before.
So there's no one person that's the pastor of the church telling everybody the way to interpret what they're studying in the Bible or any other spiritual book they're studying.
No, our pastor are the two books, the Bible and Science and Health. And the interesting thing about our services, our Sunday sermon is readings from the Bible and Science and Health on different subjects. The one coming up this week is, I think, Are Sin, Disease, and Death Real? Good question.
Ah, nice time.
And what does that mean? So the pastor is the Bible and Science and Health. And the neat thing about that lesson sermon is that you can read it as a daily devotional all week before you go hear it on Sunday. So something very different is going on Sunday morning than just hearing this. We've all read it all week. And we're really all praying together for the community and for the congregation with the ideas that are in that sermon. And the sermons are very deep and rich. When I was a Protestant chaplain, I would take maybe two passages from the Bible that I would preach on, or maybe just one story from the Bible and a couple other verses. In our lesson, we have probably 25 different passages from the Bible and as many from Science and Health. So there's a very rich diet of spiritual ideas to work with and reflect on when you're in church, in our church.
And yet it's handed over for individual reflection, as I gather. I'm not a Christian Science member, but it's handed over for individual reflection and even open to discussion.
Sure. And we do have Christian Science practitioners like myself who are in the practice of helping people through prayer with whatever kinds of challenges they face. And people can turn to us where we do have that pastoral function, although we're not the pastor of the church. And certainly in my church, right, people don't all come to me. People from all over the world actually call me for help, and I work with any individual. And people are free to go to any practitioner they like when they want answers to their questions.
Mm-hmm. And then I want to point out to folks that if they attend your lecture Friday the 12th, I've been to a number of these. I have this wonderful privilege of getting to interview folks like Brian and other people, rock stars in the world of spiritual healing. And I've been to a number of these, and it's not like there's a sudden pass the plate, and there's not like anybody saying, well, now that you've come here, you need to join our church. There's been none of that. Although I did, one of them had a reception afterwards, and there was one lady she was campaigning pretty heavily that I really should try her homemade brownies, but that's about as heavy a campaign as I got.
Okay, very good. Yeah, we don't proselytize. One of the reasons we don't proselytize is we're really not a conversionist church. Some churches are oriented toward converting others out of their sense that people are not going to be saved unless they follow their persuasion. We feel that everybody not only is saved, and that's between them and God, but that they're already the perfect child of God. And so we just want to help people understand how that is the case and begin to live their life that way.
Mm-hmm. I will add in, by the way, she was right about the brownies.
Oh, good.
They were wonderful.
We hope to have good food if we have reception.
So, Brian, there's a note here that says, I will address... the mental nature that caused illness, and then explaining how Mary Baker Eddy found and followed Christ Jesus' approach to healing. So I noticed that it's science and mind. It's science is the word in here. And I know in the day of Mary Baker Eddy, the word science really meant the ability to take a thesis and then prove that you could have a replicatable, I'll pretend that's a word, result. So where you're talking about Mary Baker Eddy found and followed Christ Jesus' approach to healing, this is not just I said my prayer every day. This is that she watched a demonstrated, consistent, repeatable series of results by using this approach. So the mental nature and cause and cure of illness following this approach to healing. Let me just toss that in your lap. Go.
Right. Well, there are, it is a science. Mrs. Eddy saw that Jesus actually was the most scientific person that ever lived. He understood real law. You know, all of our physical so-called laws are really theories, but they're only our best guess at what governs the universe. Until we get back to knowing how God is intricately a part of that and how it's really his law, we haven't discovered real law, and we can't put it into practice. Jesus practiced the real science of being by living out from what he understood to be how God governed the universe. And that's what Mrs. Eddy saw in Christ Jesus' teachings and in his healing work. You know, Jesus spent a lot of his ministry healing people, and you think, well, why was that? Because it is so important to people. It gets our attention when our physical ills are met and our physical needs are met. It wakes us up to realize that God is important in our life and can make a difference in our life. But we need to And we can follow God in a scientific way. We can take the spiritual revealed truths in the Bible about the nature of God and man and begin to put it into practice. For instance, that man lives and moves and has his being in God. Begin to think and ponder that fact, the safety that that implies, the obedience that that demands, the grace that that gives us. And as we begin to utilize those things, then we should note the data that comes from the result of that. How does it change your life? How does it change your thinking? How does it improve your health? Where do those ideas come from? It's very important that we think about the revealed truths that come from the Bible and also from our study of Christian Science. These revealed truths can be put into practice. We need to put them into practice to begin to see how they work and apply to our human experience.
You know, you just touched on something, and I'll jump back. The story you were telling about the broad, very physical, redheaded guy that you worked with, that was one of the people you worked with in the Air Force, and that even children teasing him as a young adult could get him roused up and angry. So there's an interpretation of our world involved if we can take children teasing us that seriously to get that angry about it, that probably dated back. He had to step through some pretty significant re-seeing about himself and his history and his life for that transformation to come about. Talk a bit, Brian, about this stepping back and seeing ourselves differently, letting go of a fixed picture of ourselves to see a reality.
Well, that's what gets in the way for most of us in terms of relying on God for physical healing. We have grown up with a lot of ideas about what governs our health and what makes us well and what makes us sick, and we are so afraid of so many things in our world that we need to begin to rethink all that. We need to be able to step back and say, well, wait a minute. If I'm living and moving and having my being in the life and love that sustains me, how do I use that to rethink what I believe is true about what governs my life? And so we need to be willing to have the humility. There's a lovely healing that I sometimes share about a woman whose little girl was born with cystic fibrosis, and they never really knew what was wrong with her. They had had her diagnosed by doctors quite a number of times over her young life, but they really couldn't get a handle on it. She had a very difficult time breathing and wasn't very active, was a pretty frail child, and had so much difficulty breathing that she was up every night, all night, with the child from the time she was born. And when the little girl was 11, the mother took up the study of Christian Science, and she found a promise there that there was a better way to think about things. But this was a highly educated woman. She was a pharmacist. She had been through pre-med in college, and she knew what governed things from a medical point of view, and she had a very hard time letting go of that education. But she knew she had to really begin to yield to what God saw in her child. And just in the humblest way, just wanted to see the true nature of her child as God saw her. And she was willing, it was a struggle to give up a lot of notions she had in order to do that. When the child was finally diagnosed, she was 14 years old. And it was such an advanced stage of cystic fibrosis that the doctor said her lungs had turned to stone, and she was just totally clogged with her whole glandular system was so clogged up that she couldn't even perspire and got overheated all the time. So she couldn't do much at all. They said she had a few weeks to live when they diagnosed her. And so both, her husband was not a Christian Scientist, but she was studying Christian Science, and they decided they would try Christian Science.
This is sort of like that theory of you never see religion spread so quickly as in the foxholes itself.
That's right. And there was no really good alternative for her. And so he insisted that they keep having her checked and have examinations periodically to see how she was doing, but there really wasn't much they could do. They tried putting her in a, you know, one of these tents for a while, just to help her, but it became more problematic and didn't seem to help. And just through her own humble prayers, the little girl was healed step by step. And one night she was just praying about it, and she said she knew that God didn't see her little girl as a bag of bones, but as the precious, loved, eternal idea of God, his perfect child. And she said that was the first time in 14 years that she and her daughter had slept through the night.
Wow.
And so that was a breakthrough. And then she just kind of came alive and became more active and healthier and more interested in nature and things. And one day she was out she was watching children play. She couldn't play because she would get overheated, but she was watching the kids running around, and her mom was praying about this whole idea of skin and her glandular system, and thinking through that really skin was just this lovely covering of life, truth, and love. It was spiritual. It couldn't be clogged up. And shortly after that, the screen door slammed, and she came running in. The little girl came running into her mom and said, "Mom, I'm all wet." And she was perspiring for the first time in years. And then there was a crisis. Suddenly she couldn't breathe at all, and they rushed her to the hospital. And the doctors were quite concerned. Her lungs had collapsed completely. And they were going to operate right then, but then they couldn't do it. They put it off till morning. And when and they prayed all night, and when they looked at her in the morning, her lungs were just fine and were completely free. It was like she had brand new lungs.
Oh my gosh!
And then she went on from there, was just completely freed. And the doctor said, if you know we hadn't seen it, we wouldn't have never believed this that could happen this way.
Yes.
But they saw this lovely healing.
Absolutely.
A lot of humility is required. In being willing to let go of what we're so convinced governs us from a material perspective of, things like allergies. When I was a child, I had asthma. And I had asthma for 30 years, 30-something years. I was in the Air Force. And when I was a chaplain in the Air Force, suddenly it became very severe, and I could hardly breathe. And I had a practitioner praying for me as well, and we were just praying all day, every day and night. And the amazing thing was I could get up on Sunday morning and go preach a sermon, then I'd come back and fall into bed and could hardly survive.
Yeah.
And my wife really got quite concerned. She said I started to turn blue. I just couldn't get enough oxygen, and she thought I was going to pass on. But we continued on that, and the thing that was the turning point for me was just a line from a hymn. It's a hymn from our hymnal. It says, "O Lord, I would delight in Thee and on Thy care depend. To Thee in every trouble flee, my best, my ever friend." And it was this new sense of God as my best friend that just set me free, and I was healed. Probably within a week or so, and completely well, and never had an asthmatic attack again. And that was some 25, 30 years ago.
Wow. Let me let people soak that in for just a minute, Brian. We're going to go ahead and do a quick ID on the station, and then I'll give people information on where they can meet with you and hear you speak in person.
Talk AM, 1450 just for you.
San Francisco.
Hi, this is Scout, and you can have a private session with me, either a single session of self-understanding or ongoing development work for your spiritual path or unfolding the areas of your life that have been folded. We can work together individually, and I'm fully certified in all of the techniques that Christopher Howard uses in his groundbreaking Breakthrough to Success workshop, so that we can work even in those directions. You can contact me by phone as 925-676-5189 or email me scout@lifeinsights.net. That's scout@lifeinsights.net. Is it really reasonable to rely on the power of God instead of material remedies for our health? How Relying on God Brings Healing is the title of a lecture to be given by Brian Talcott, a practitioner and teacher of Christian Science Healing. Talcott will present this one-hour talk on Friday, November 12th at 7:30 p.m. to be held in the Mill Valley Community Center at 180 Camino Alto in Mill Valley, California. Come and learn how you can bring the power of divine love into your life. For more information, you can call 415-383-2020, 415-383-2020. And you are listening to Spiritual Perspectives, taking a look at real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. This is Scout Bartlett, your host, and our special guest today is Brian Talcott. Brian will be here in the Bay Area in Mill Valley on Friday the 12th, as we just said. And Brian, you just talked about a couple of healings, but I noticed in some of my other notes, a portion of my own work recently, I've been doing a lot of meditation on taking apart and understanding that form for prayer that's designated in the Bible as being handed to us by Jesus, what gets referred to as the Lord's Prayer. And I note that you've got some talk where you actually do a spiritual interpretation on the Lord's Prayer rather than just the form and rhythm of just saying it by rote. I wonder if you can share just a couple of minutes worth of that deeper insight into that. I would love to hear this.
I did talk a little bit about it. It is a model for prayer as well as a prayer. And so we want to ponder, what does that mean? You know, many of your listeners probably know the prayer that never fails is, Thy will be done. And that's in there. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as is in heaven. Well, Mrs. Eddy gives a spiritual sense of that, where she says, enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme. Some people, in saying the Lord's Prayer, may say in their mind, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, thinking that that kingdom is way far off. And we want to know that it's ever-present. God is ever-present. God's kingdom is here. You know, when Jesus taught his disciples to heal, and he did, and then he sent them out to heal people, he also taught them to say to the individual that's healed, the kingdom of God has come upon you. Mm. What does that mean? He wanted them to realize that this is the presence of God in their life. That's what had healed and transformed them. And it's really quite remarkable in looking at the healings of Jesus, how often in the Gospels, when Jesus heals someone, the people glorified God. They didn't glorify Jesus. They glorified God. He was such a clear transparency for the presence and power of God that they saw it, and they recognized that this God had come, was present, and was governing. And it was just a little glimpse of this kingdom breaking into their human sense of things, their human experience. Well, let's go on. And another part of that prayer was, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I find those are the three basic needs that Jesus covers in that prayer. And those are the three basic needs of mankind. The need for bread, sustenance, whatever we need. It could be a job. It could be financial help. Yep. It could be health. But that earnest desire for what seems to be lacking in their life. And the spiritual interpretation of that in Christian Science is, give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections. The real spiritual sense of bread or sustenance is God's grace. And we need to recognize that it is only through God's grace that we can do these make these changes in our life and really feel the power of God. God works with us. We don't have to do this all on our own. It's not some mental gymnastics that we go through to be healed, but it's really opening thought to God and feeling the grace, the power of God. And then that second demand, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. All about human relationships. And the spiritual interpretation there is, and love is reflected in love. Jesus, that's very central to what Jesus taught. Of course, he taught in human relationship, there was actually one answer that he gave for every problem that you had in human relations, and it was love. Just love them. It doesn't matter if they love you or hate you or abuse you, you love them. Why? Because that connects you to the power of infinite love, and that's your best weapon or your best resource, however you think about it, to deal with any human relationship problem, more love. Now, we may think, well, I don't have enough love, or I'm being manipulated, or I'm being exploited. When you recognize that you are living in infinite love, there is no shortage of love. We can always love more. We can love wiser. We can love more deeply, more patiently, more effectively, but we can always love more. And the third one, of course, is the temptation issue. Lead us not into temptation. And, you know, fears are temptations, too. In the commandments, second commandment is the one, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, and thou shalt not bow down to them nor serve them. And you think that's kind of repetitious, but it isn't. Actually, bowing down to a god and serving a god are two different things from the Old Testament. Bowing down to gods are the gods we fear that we have to bow down to.
Mm-hmm.
And serving gods are the ones we love that we like to bow down to, that like to serve. And so it's helpful in temptation to recognize, to free us from the temptation to be afraid or also to love those things that are really not helpful for us, to exchange pleasures and pains of matter for a deeper sense of the joys of spirit is really what it's all about. And the answer, the spiritual interpretation simply is an affirmation of what's true, that God doesn't lead us into temptation, but he delivers us from every temptation, including sin, disease, and death. The great temptation is death.
That's wonderful.
A solution to our problems.
This
sometimes.
Has been such a blast. I hate it when the time's up. Brian, this has been such a treat. Thank you so much for being willing to join us today and to share these ideas. I'll repeat again, this is Brian Talcott. This is Spiritual Perspectives. I'm Scout Bartlett. Brian will be here in the Bay Area Friday, November 12th, doing a talk at the Mill Valley Community Center. For more information, 415-383-2020. Or if you'd like to hear a replay of this program by sometime tomorrow, we'll have it up on my website on lifeinsights.net. Just click on radio and scroll down to Spiritual Perspectives, and you'll be able to replay it or even download it to save it from there. This is Scout Bartlett reminding you that no matter where in the world you are, it's a perfect day to have a great day on purpose.
Feel great.